ॐ भरताय प्रतिबोधिताय भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन कथितां पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनीम् अम्ब त्वाम् अनुसन्ततामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वयशिनी। Verse 8, chapter 3, verse 8. Niyatam kuru karmatvam, niyatam kuru karmatvam, karma jayo hya karmanaha, karma jayo hya karmanaha, sharira yatra pichat, sharira yatra pichate, sharira yatra pichate, na prasidyet akarmanaha. Niyatam kuru karma tvam karma jayaha hi akarmanaha sharira yatra api chate na prasidyet akarmanaha. Remember in the previous two verses, in verse 6, the Lord talked about the person who is a vimudatma, very confused, very confused, and whose conduct is mithya. Conduct, the way of behavior, is just false. It's not true to reality, it's mithya. He said, those people who controlling their karmendriyas, controlling their body, controlling their organs of action, the karmendriyas, yet sitting there, sitting aste, the person who is aste and sitting there, controlling their karmendriyas, but thinking all along, manasa smaran, thinking with their mind about what indriyartan, all of the sense objects, all of their sense objects, whatever that's what they're doing, is fantasizing about all of the sense objects means those things, their desires, the things that they want, the things that they hate, the things that come to the mind. So that's what their mind is occupied with. Those people are called vimudatmas, people who are very confused, and their behavior is not correct. Really, it's mithya. They think it looks like from the outside, mithya means it looks like from the outside that they're meditating. But on the inside, that's not what's going on. This isn't meditation, so it's mithyachara. How they're presenting themselves, it looks like they're meditating, but inside what's going on is just fantasizing and thinking about their likes and dislikes and the different objects of enjoyment, indriyartheshu. Then he says in verse 7, whereas he who... having controlled the sense organs with the mind, that person who engages in karma yoga with the karmendriyas, with their organs of action, being asaktaha, not attached to the karma pala, means accepting everything as from the Lord. All of the pala, all of the results as being prasad from the Lord. That person is vishishyate, means is superior, but superior not in the sense that the other side is workable at all. That's it's like saying this is the way that you need to be. This is what works. The other doesn't work. The other is mithyachara. Mithyachara means it may look all right from the outside, but on the inside it's not happening. It's not right. So this type of behavior, controlling the sense organs themselves with the mind, right, and then doing the actions in a spirit of karma yoga, right, that is what actually is effective. That's what works. And so with those two verses, Then he says, yataha evam ataha. Yataha evam. He introduces the verse like this. Yataha evam. Evam. Because it is like this. Yataha, since. It is in this manner. Yataha evam. Evam. Ataha, therefore. And all of these verses, when we get more and more into the Bhasha, there will always, almost always, invariably actually, be a, some sort of an introduction, a connection between the two verses. So Shankara will have his bhasha on the verse, right? And then there will be a lead-in to the actual verse, right? To the next verse. Mm-hmm. So here his lead-in is, yataha evam ataha. Yataha, since it's evam, since it's in this way, and this is what is appropriate, ataha, therefore, niyatam kuru karma tvam. May you do karma. Kuru is the imperative second person singular. Tvam kuru karma. May you do karma. What kind of karma? Niyatam karma. The niyatam karma, the nitya karmas, those karmas which are your duties. They're either your daily duties that if you were born in India and you were you had the whole Hindu culture as part of your daily life, there are certain duties that are required of you, certain rituals, certain prayers that are done on a daily basis. They're your niyatam, they're your responsibilities, your religious responsibilities. But there's also your social responsibilities, your familial responsibilities, the duties that are things that are there for you to be done. They're not things that are to be done because you like to do them or don't like to do them. Right? It's not so that you can get something from them or not get something from them. So the pala of the karma is not, pala means the fruit of the karma. Yes, it's not a kamya karma. The fruit is not something, I'm doing this because I want this. I'm doing this because I want to get that. That's not the consideration. The consideration has nothing to do with wanting to do it or not wanting to do it. It's your duty to do it. It's there to be done. It's enjoined on you, either religiously, spiritually, enjoined upon you to be done, or socially, which is also within the Vedic culture. It would socially also is taken care of within the Vedas. Your familial responsibilities also taken care of within the Vedas. But for all of us, whether you grow up in the Vedic culture or not, every moment, in fact, the world, your situation, provides you with the things that are your responsibilities, the things that are there to be done. So those things you do, so he says, those are the niyata karmas. So niyatam karma, niyatam kuru karma tvam. Do those karmas. May you do those karmas. Karma jayaha hi akarmanaha. Because karma is jayaha, it is better, it is superior to akarma. Akarmanaha there is in fifth case. So karma, he means because. Because karma is something which is jayaha, better. It's superior to akarma. Akarma means inaction. Doing, for you as a human being, doing karma is far superior to akarma. He tells why. Sharira yatra api. Even yatra means a journey, but it also means just maintenance. Sharira yatra means maintenance of the body. Stiti. Sharira stiti in the bhasha. Stiti, the maintenance of the body, just taking care of your body, right? Even just that, right? He says, even te means your. Even your taking care of the body, even your maintaining the body, prasidyet, na prasidyet akarmanaha. It could never happen. Na prasidyet, it could not take place. It would be impossible, right? Akarmanaha. It could never happen from akarma. From not doing action. Akarmanaha. By not doing action, the sharira yatra, the taking care of your body, could not possibly take place. So what do you mean by akarma? And then he takes it to another level also. Akarma. In India, in one level, when we say moksha, moksha means freedom, the total freedom from birth and rebirth. It also is freedom from change, it's freedom from the upadi, it's freedom from taking another body, from the cycle of rebirth. So it's freedom from the cycle of birth and death. It's understood that this birth, just in the regular Hindu, everybody would know this is within the culture. The next birth that you take in the cycle of birth and rebirth is in effect, is due to your karmas, right? Because of your karmas, you take a better birth or you take a worse birth, right? Or an equal birth. But the next birth that you take is a result of your karmas. And so somebody can say then, all right, I'm not doing any more karma. I'm going to become an akarmi. I'm not going to do any more karma. So Krishna says, that's not possible. It's not possible for you not to do any karma. Because even the breathing, even eating, even blinking your eyes, taking care of yourself physically, all of that is karma. Taking a glass of water, karma. You can never get away from the karma. And so even if you say, okay, it's not getting away from the karma, I'm just not going to do anything in terms of punya and papa. I'm not going to do anything, no kami karmas. I'm not going to do anything like that. But then, they'll say, what about all the karmas you've done up to the point of this decision? Just in this life alone, all the karmas that you've done, all of those also have punya and papa. They also have to fructify. What about the limitless number of sanchitta karmas you have? All of the karmas that you have stored in your account, the smallest little minuscule handful being taken care of in this particular birth. What about all of those karmas? So in either case, karma, akarma, it has really nothing to do with moksha. There's no possibility of your becoming an akarmi as long as you're identified with something within the Maya Upadi. As long as you have any identification, as long as there's any kartritvam there, if you take yourself to be a doer, you take yourself to be a doer, you're immediately identified with Upadi. Right? I am doing this, I am doing that. Otherwise, how can you be a doer? If you're not identified with the body, there's no way you can say, I am tall or short or fat or I am walking or I am sick. You can't identify with anything there. If you're not identified with the sense organs, you can't say, I see well or I'm blind or I hear or I don't hear. If you're not identified with the mind, you can't say, you know, I am thinking or I am feeling or I am imagining. Right? So in order to do anything, you have to, if there's any type of kartritvam there, you have to have an identification with Upadi. If there's an identification with Upadi, with any conditioning adjunct, then you're part of Maya, right? You are then being maneuvered, like it or not, like the previous verse, against your will, you're performing karma by the force of prakriti, by the force of the three gunas. There's no possibility because the three gunas are always manifesting, are always changing. So there's no possibility of becoming free of karma. Therefore, do those karmas. Which karmas? Do the karmas that are enjoined on you. Take care of those karmas. Be vigilant. Do those karmas. Not the kamya karmas. You don't have to do the kamya karmas. The kamya karmas are the ones, I think I'll do this so that I can be happy. Those you can have a karma yoga buddhi for. Or if you're ready for that, just let those go altogether. You know, those will be some of the first ones to drop off, actually. You know, but do the karmas that are enjoined on you. Live in the world. Living your life in the world. The life that Bhagavan has given you. The life that your prarabdha karma has given to you. Live that fully with an attitude of karma yoga, doing your duties. Okay? So that's what he says. Then he goes on not to tell what that means. Yajñārtat karmano nyatra loko yam karma bandhanaha tirartham karma kaunteya muktasangas samachara yajña arthat karmanaha anyatra lokaha ayam karma bandhanaha tad artham compound of tad artham karma kaunteya mukta sangaha samachara. He says, yajna artat karmanaha. Karmas which are yajna-artha, done for the sake of the Lord. Here yajna means Ishwara Vishnu. And in the Bhasha, Shankara gives some statements to back that up, some Shruti statements. Yajnaha vai Vishnu, Vishnuhu. The yajna is Vishnu. Yajna really means rituals. Vedic rituals are yajnas. But the yajna, the Vedic ritual, where you're offering a ghee into the fire and offering different, making different offerings into the fire, and Agni takes it up to the gods. The Vedic rituals are called yajna. But yajna is also a name for Ishwara, and there's a Shruti statement that says, yajnaha vai Vishnuhu. Yajna is indeed Vishnu. He says, iti shrutehe yajnaha Ishwaraha. Thus, from the Shruti, shrutehe, yajnaha is Ishwara. So, tadartham, that which is done, tet yajnartam karma. So, yajnartam means that which is done for yajna, that which is done for Ishwara. So the karmas which are done for the sake, artha is for the sake, done for the sake of Ishwara. So, yajnartat karmanaha. Karmanaha is in the fifth case there. Anyatra. Anyatra has this, anya means other. Anyatra, that tra affix has the sense of location. So anyatra would be, in governing the fifth case, other than those karmas which are done for the sake of Ishwara. Other than the karmas which are for the sake of Ishwara. So other than that. Lokaha ayam. Lokaha here means, lokaha means, there's different words. Loka has a lot of different meanings. Lokaha can mean like the different regions of the universe. Like this is Bhurloka, you know. There's Suvaloka, there's different lokas, different regions of in the creation, different levels, different planes of existence are lokas. But lokas are also groups, like we would be in here, we're a loka, we're a group, particular loka, you know, a group of people. It could all just mean a person. A particular type of person is a loka. So here, ayam lokaha, this person, the person who we're talking about here, the karmakrit, the one who does karma, which means the person who's not yet a jnani, they still, the ahankara is still a karta. Karta means I consider myself to be a doer. I'm a mukshu because the whole book, the whole Bhagavad Gita is only for mukshus. But that kartrutva buddhi is there. Kartrutva means doership. Right? Kartra, doer, kartrutva, doership. Kartrutva buddhi is that notion of doership. So the kartrutva buddhi is there for that person. So ayam, such a person, ayam means this, ayam lokaha, this person, karma-bandhanaha. Karma-bandhanaha is a karma-dharya compound. Karma-dharya compound is a compound that means the compound is a name for you. If you are a karma, what if I call you, hey, you're a karma-bandhana. Yeah. What? Means what? If I say, hey, you're a karma-bandhana, I'm giving you a name. That's a bahuvrihi. What does it mean? You are one who is bound by karma. You are one for whom karma, for whom karma is binding. You're karma-bandhanaha. So bahuvrihi compound names you, and then we have to do what's called a vigraha on it to make, we have to break it to make it make sense. Because if I say, you're a karma-bandhanaha, what does that mean? It means you are one for whom karma is binding. So, this person who still has the kartrutva buddhi is a karma-bandhanaha. He is a person for whom karma is binding, except anyatra, except for those karmas which are yajnartam, yajnartat, going with karmanaha, except for those karmas that are done for the sake of the Lord, except for those karmas, karma is binding for you, for this person. Okay. So he says, tadartam karma. Okay. Tadartam karma kaunteya, he kaunteya, he son of Kunti, it's named for Arjuna. Tadartam karma kaunteya, mukta sangaha samacharaha. He Hey Arjuna Kaunteya, being one who is Mukta Sangaha, one who is free, who is a Mukta Sangaha, hey Mukta Sangaha, be a Mukta Sangaha, one for whom the attached has been liberated from attachment. The Sangha, the attachment, is freed from attachment. One who is freed from attachment. Be, hey Arjuna, be a Mukta Sangaha, one who has let go of your attachments. And as a Mukta Sangaha, Samachara, you perform karma. Samachara, perform karma. Do your karmas. Karma, do karma, which is tarartam. You do karma, which is tarartam, for the sake of the Lord. In other words, you do karma yoga. Do the karma yoga like this. All other karma is binding. All other karma involves punya and papa. It involves your raga dveshas, likes and dislikes. But you're doing karmas normally, but you're doing karmas so that I can be happy. I'm doing this so that I can be happy, so that I can be happy. It means I need a particular result. If the karmas that you're doing are for the sake of Ishvara, there's a whole different buddhi that comes in, right? If the whole creation becomes Ishvara, and everything that I do, every action that I do, is an offering to the Lord. In fact, think about it. Let's see what this looks like. He's really now starting to unfold the whole karma yoga buddhi of seeing everything as Ishvara. And when you see everything as Ishvara, then the act that you do becomes an offering into Ishvara. An example Swamiji was using in his commentary on this. If you look at everything as the Lord, including this body, your mind, your sense organs, your eyes, your breath, your prana, you can even look at, for instance, your digestive system. If something that you're eating, say you're offering food, you're taking in food, you're offering food to the prana, to the digestion, you know, which then receives it, burns the prana, burns it, it eats it. Everything is like that. Even when you're looking at something, then what you're seeing is being offered to your eyes, right? Your breath, the breath in inhale, right, is being offered into the lungs. The exhale is being offered into the creation. So you see everything is completely interrelated. But interrelated, part of Ishvara. When you see it all as part of Ishvara, everything is interrelated. And everything that you do, then if you see the whole as Ishvara, everything that you do is something that you are doing to Ishvara, and everything that you receive is something that is coming from Ishvara. So really beautiful. In fact, when you think of Ishvara as the both Upadana Karanam and Nimitta Karanam, but I haven't used these words, I've used them but not recently, not too much. Upadana Karanam, if we think of the Lord as Upadana Karanam, that means the material cause. So we're looking at Ishvara then when we say Upadana Karanam. We're looking at Ishvara in terms of the Maya Upadi. So all of this that we perceive here, everything within Maya, is Ishvara's body. And so everything that we're perceiving, all of this and all of that we're functioning in, all of that you see is Ishvara's body. Then if you look at Ishvara, the aspect as Nimitta Karana. Nimitta Karana means the conscious principle, the conscious being for whom this is the body. That's the Nimitta Karana. And so now say, if you look at these eyes as the Upadana Karanam, their eyes are part of Ishvara's body. The Nimitta Karanam is what? It's the Devata in the eyes, right? It's the conscious principle in the eyes. That's the Nimitta Karanam. Nimitta Karanam means efficient cause. So when you see the physical eyes as Ishvara's body, you see the conscious principle, the consciousness behind the eyes as the Nimitta Karanam. Same with the mouth, same with the sense organ, same with the whole moving creation, same with the sun. Often we look at the sun and the moon and all of when we talk about Ishvara's order, you know, the order that you experience when you're looking at it is the order of Ishvara's upadi. When you look at the intelligence of the order, that's the Nimitta Karanam. You look at the consciousness that's involved in the order, Nimitta Karanam. You look at the order itself, or you look at the manifestation of the order, that's the physical form of Ishvara. And so say, when you have this Ishvara Buddhi, Ishvara Buddhi means everything that you see is Ishvara, which is the truth. What is not Ishvara? So if that Ishvara Buddhi, the Karma Yoga Buddhi cultivates, right? Because there's nothing that you do that is away or separate from Ishvara, nor is there any experience that you have that is away or separate from Ishvara. And so when that is the situation, then all of the actions, you look from moment to moment to moment, what are the things that come to me to be done? I just always remember Swamiji saying, it's all very simple. I just simply do what is in front of me, what comes to me. I just simply do that to the best of my ability, moment by moment by moment. That's it. That's all it is. Such a simple thing. But if you have the Ishvara Buddhi, then what is being given to you is Ishvara, right? And then how you respond to what is being given to you is how you respond to the Lord. And so that attitude is that brings about that Karma Yoga Buddhi, it brings about that Shanti. And so here in this verse he says, you know, for somebody who has the Kartrika Buddhi still, the knowledge hasn't completed itself, that Kartrika Buddhi, then for that person, karma is binding, except for those karmas that are done with this buddhi. So, therefore, he says, hey, Kaunteya, do the karma like that with this karma yoga buddhi, seeing everything as the Lord, everything for the sake of the Lord. Do the karmas like that. Mukta saktaha, being one who's freed of attachment. Why are you free of attachment? Because what is motivating you has nothing to do with the objects. The primary motivation is not the object. Primary motivation is antakarana shuddhi. You'd say the primary motivation is moksha. Moving down the line, primary motivation is antakarana shuddhi for the sake of moksha. And with those two things, then what is allowing for that is my knowledge of Ishvara, my recognition of Ishvara. And that becomes, that recognition of Ishvara becomes a sadhana for me until it's not a sadhana. Right? It's something that I practice, I remember, that's how I live my day, that's my sadhana. Until, if there's nothing that's a sadhana about it, it's just my reality. Because that is the reality, but initially, you know, initially there's too much conditioning. There's lifetimes of conditioning, you know, to just say, okay, from this moment on, I understand, everything's Ishvara, okay, good, so it's not that easy, because we have lifetimes and lifetimes and lifetimes of conditioning where I don't see everything as Ishvara at all. I don't even know who Ishvara is. No. I don't know who Ishvara is. And I see myself as a jiva that has to make my way in this world. And Ishvara is there somewhere. But I don't have that understanding. So knowledge gives you that understanding. But then once you have that understanding and you gain more and more and more clarity, still your mind behaves as an ajnani. You know, it's like Swamiji tells that elaborate story about the beggar who became a king. You know, the beggar was a king. The king was, when he was a little boy, he was taken away and had to live the life of a beggar. And then when he was a young man, he was rediscovered and brought home to the kingdom. And then he went through his coronation and everything, was trained and taught and everything. Now you're the king. We're sorry this all horrible stuff all happened to you, but now you're king. Everything's fine. Yeah. But then one day, he was walking with some of his retinue. He was walking out in this, going down one of the streets, and there was a big celebration that was going on. And they were making laddus, these sweets, very well-known sweets in India, making laddus, and they were handing them out for free. You know? And this king just ran for that ladu. He felt so darn embarrassed when he remembered, what am I doing? What am I doing? Well, that's how it is. Yet this knowledge, your knowledge, what you know now, you know, all of that ignorant behavior has to come up again in the light of your knowledge. And then your knowledge, right, it's your knowledge, who you are now, right, who you are now that takes care of that one that's sticking out the beggarly hand. And so this Karma Yoga Buddhi gives the mind a way to practice your understanding. In a sense, it's a practice of your understanding. It's an application of your understanding. Because, say, if the vision takes place for you, you will see this is only Ishvara. But that Kartrator Buddhi is there. So how to be with that Kartrator Buddhi? You see all of this is Ishvara. But that Kartrator, those vasanas are still there. It means the likes and dislikes and the needs. I still need this. I know all of this, but I know this is all Ishvara, but I still want this. I know this is Ishvara, but still I feel like this. That's right. And so how to be in the world with all of these likes and dislikes and all of these behaviors. So that's why he's talking with this. Do all of the karmas that you do. Be here in the world, facing all of that. But do those karmas for the sake of Ishvara. Always bring in that Ishvara Buddhi. And then do the karmas in light of that. That neutralizes them. So if he says now, he starts saying some interesting things here, talking about the nature of the creation. Sahayajna praja srishtva puro vacha prajapatihi anena prasavishyatvam eva vos twishtakamaduk Saha yajnaha prajaha shrishtva pura uvacha prajapatihi anena prasavishyatvam eva vaha asti astu. That's where I got mixed up. Astu ishtakamaduk. Okay. Vaha astu ishta kama duk.
Is eva an isha?
Where? Anena prasavishyatvam eva vaha. What do you
mean? Isha me.
Eva. Let me see.
We have isha.
Isha. This says Isha too in the Bhasha. Okay. Isha ha. Vaha. Just for the connection to this verse, itascha adikratena karma kartavyam. He says itascha, and therefore because of this, he says, by the one who's eligible, who's qualified for this, karma has got to be done. By the one who's eligible means by the one who's a karma yogi, right? Who's a karma yogi who has the kartrut from buddhi. So for that person who still has that sense of kartrutva, karma kartavyam. Karma is to be done. It's potential participle there. So here he says, what does he say? Saha yajnaha prajaha srishtva. Having created srishtva, indeclinable past participle, having created prajaha, feminine accusative plural, having created the beings, the prajaha, having created the prajaha, saha yajnaha, together with yajna, right, with yajnas, together with the rituals. So it means having created the beings together with all of the rituals, all of the duties that come along with the Vedas. Okay, he says, pura uvat formerly. So formerly, pura, having created beings together with the yajna, prajapatihi uvacha. Prajapatihi is Brahmaji. Brahmaji said, and this is all something to be found in the Lord said, Lord Brahmaji said. Prajapati means the father, the Lord of all beings. So Brahmaji said, in the Vedas is understood, having created, he said, anena prasavishyadvam, may you grow, may you, prasava means to grow, to grow, to increase. You can look at it as growing and increasing spiritually, but usually when it says, it means may your family increase, may you have progeny, may you have children, may you grow in wealth, may your family increase. Okay? Anena, by this, by what? By this tadartham, by this karma yoga, by performing karma in this way. Vaha astu ishtakama duk. Let this, so now take the eva, what I said, eva eshaha. Let this be, what this yajna, this performing karma in the sense of yajna. Let this be for you, vaha, for you in the plural, dative plural. Let this be for you an ishtakamaduk. The kamaduk means, the ishtakamaduk, the kamadenu was the cow, Vasishtha had a kamadenu, a cow, that would always fulfill the desires. So an ishtakamaduk is one that gives the milk of desires, right? Of the things which you desire. So let the Vedas this way, let your performing the karma in this way, let the Vedas themselves, or this ritual, or this karma yoga buddhi, let that itself be an ishtakamaduk. Let it be something which completely blesses you, which gives you what you really desire. Now when Swamiji does this in his bhasha, it's so beautiful because really this karma yoga buddhi, the karma yoga buddhi, taking everything as Ishvara, right, gives you the antakarana shuddhi. Okay? The karma yoga buddhi gives antakarana, the purity of mind. That's the result of it, which gives that shanti. And it's that shanti, that mind, for the adhikari, is what then will resolve into jnana, into knowledge. When the mind is resolved, means at peace from the karma yoga buddhi, and then more so resolving into knowledge, then all of your desires are fulfilled. Because what is the object of your desire? Right? What is it that you really desire? It's so helpful to remember the desire template. I want, this is the desire template. I want this so that I can be happy. And I want this so that I can be happy. And I want to get rid of this so that I can be happy. Right? So really the desire template, what a person desires, is to be happy. And all of these things in the universe become an object that I think will bring that end to me. Right? But the end is always, the object of the desire is always the happiness. The middle, this middle ground, right, is just becomes a means for me to achieve the object of my desire, which is happiness. So let this karma yoga buddhi be an ishtakama duk for you. Let it fulfill all of your desires. Right? Because the fulfillment of all your desires is the nature of the self. So really the only thing that will ever fulfill all of your desires, right, is jnana. Because in truth, within the Maya Upadhi, none of these objects are the happiness that you seek. There is no object that is the happiness that you seek. But the fulfilling of a desire in terms of this object gives the mind a moment of shanti that allows the mind to experience a state of ananda, an experience of ananda, that is simply brought about by the relaxation of the mind. Right? And so, in fact, this knowledge and this karma yoga buddhi, let it be the ishtakama duk. In fact, he tells in the Bhasha, in his writing on this, the story of Vasishtha. Apparently, Vasishtha was a rishi, great king, great rishi. And a king came to him, and Vasishtha was able to feed the king and his whole retinue. It's nothing, within 5 minutes, no problem at all. The king said, "How did you do that?" And he said, "Do I have my cow?" My kama duk. And the king said, "I want that." He said, "Would you give that to me?" Because a king, after all, "Would you give that to me? I want to have that." You know? And Vasishtha said, "I'm sorry, it won't help you. You have to be a Brahma Rishi for that to be able to give that. You have to be a Brahma Rishi." He said, "Well, how can I be a Brahma Rishi? Then help me to become a Brahma Rishi." And so this king went through all the tapas to become the Brahma Rishi. But in the end, and he couldn't get, was not making headway. He didn't make headway until fine. In fact, he was getting very irritated. But he made the headway when finally he didn't care about being a Brahma Rishi, nor did he care about having the kama duk. When all that asanga, you know, he became mukta sangaha, one who didn't need any of that. And at that time then he became the Brahma Rishi. And then the kamadhanu was his. Right? He was his own kamadhanu. That's the idea. So let this karma yoga buddhi, let that make you be your kamadhanu, because it resolves into the ananda which you are, the ananda which will never go away, the ananda which accompanies all that you do. That's a beautiful thing. Within samsara, so you get to have, you have your body, you have your sense organs, you have your mind, and you have yourself. So what that means, because you have yourself, the ajnana is not there anymore. That means wherever you go, ananda is. Wherever you look, ananda is. Whatever you think, ananda is. Whatever you feel, ananda is there. Because that's your swarupa. And the mind doesn't ask for, isn't looking for that swarupa, that nature, to be anywhere else. When the mind, because of ajnanam, your mind was looking for the swarupa, looking for your own being out here somewhere. And not being able to find it, or not having things go perfectly well, the mind was always be tense. Always tensing up and relaxing, tensing up and relaxing. Sukha dukkha, sukha dukkha, sukha dukkha. That's the samsara. Tensing up and relaxing. For the jnani, the kama dukkha has been found. The kama dukkha of the mind has been found. And so the mind then abiding, enjoying the self, experiences the world. That's the state of a jnani. You experience the world, you experience the body, you experience the sense organs, you experience the mind, you experience your perceptions, you experience other people, but always, you are always there. That's the differentiation. You are always there, which means that the swarupananda of your own being is always there. That's the home base for the mind. And so use this karma yoga, this yajnartam. Use this yajnartam, doing things for the sake of the Lord. Use that karma yoga buddhi to create in you this kama duk. Okay? Let this knowledge be your let this buddhi, this karma yoga buddhi, doing for the sake of the Lord, Let this be a Kama Duk, the Ishta Kama Duk for you. Okay. Oh. I'm going to stop here. This goes into another section, so I don't want to do it. No, I don't want to do it anymore. Let's just take a minute. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.